Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to our Sunday service this morning. Martin is going to be leading our worship today and bringing us the message. So I will hand over to Martin now to lead for us. Thank you, Martin.
Thank you, Adrian, and welcome one and all to the service this morning. I think, bearing in mind all the names that you've thrown at me at the beginning of the service, I think it would be good to actually just take a moment now before we start our service to think of all these people. So let us just bow our heads, excuse me, and pray for these people and their families. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that even in these days of lockdown and isolation, that we can come together, albeit over a computer and a Zoom service, to worship you. And we think this morning of those that are on our hearts and minds for various reasons. We think of the family of John Lloyd, who for whatever reasons has suddenly died this week. And we pray you will be with his family and his children at this very difficult time for them. Help them through and put your arms around them and strengthen them. And may the church be a real support to them. And may they know your love, your kindness close to them at this difficult time. We pray for Catherine's husband, Stuart, who's in hospital at the moment. And we pray, Lord, once again, that you will guide the doctors and the nurses and everything will go smoothly, that that Stuart will be able to be discharged from hospital as soon as possible. And we thank you again that Catherine is being released from her sentence of isolation today, and may she enjoy her walk out this afternoon. We pray also for the families of Philip Sibley and Nellie Brown, who both have their funerals this week. We pray, Father, again, you would be a sense of comfort and present in both those services, that they may know that you are close to them, surrounding them at their time of loss. And Lord, we pray that you would help all of those on our hearts and minds this week that need a touch from you, that need comfort from you and your church. And may we be mindful of these people. Yes. In your name, Lord. Amen. Excuse me, I've got the coughs this morning. So as we start our service together, I just want to read from the order of service on, I've forgotten what the thing is called now, but anyway. So let us come before God. Almighty God, whose blessed Son was led by the Spirit to be tempted by Satan, come quickly to help us who are assaulted by many temptations. And as you know the weaknesses of each one of us, let each one find you mighty to save. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Following that, we will sing together our first hymn this morning, which is the wonderful hymn, Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Show.
thus far, and grace will lead me home. The Lord has promised good to me, His word my hope secures. As long as life endures, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Then when we first begun. Just
come before God in prayer. Father, as we come to you this morning, we open our hearts and our minds to receive from you. We open our hearts and our minds to learn from you today, to understand your plan and your purpose, to come before you and to worship you. And we ask that as we lift you up in worship, you would be enthroned on high, and that you would be radiant in our lives. Bless us this morning as we worship in your name. Amen. We are going to have our first reading this morning, which is from Genesis, and Lois is going to read that for us. So hand over to Lois. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So Genesis 9, and it's verses 8 to 17. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. So God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on the earth.
Thanks, Lois. Just to share a few thoughts on that. It's interesting that Noah and his sons have had their own sort of isolation, haven't they? They've been stuck on that boat, floating around on a flooded earth for quite some time. And once the floodwaters go down and the ark landed on Ararat. They all come off the boat and new life, or a new order as it were, is being begun. And God has this conversation with Noah, and it's all about this thing called a rainbow and a promise. And I was thinking, when I first was looking at these readings for this morning, I was thinking how, be careful how I say this, because I don't want to sound like I'm judgmental in any way, but how the image of the rainbow has been hijacked to mean something very different to what God intended it for. We see the rainbow often banded and pushed up in front of us from particularly like the LGBT plus group. They've taken this sign of God's promise and used it to forward their advance. And also in the last year, in the last 12 months, the rainbow has been taken and used for remembering and congratulating the workers in the front line, particularly the NHS, as we've gone through this COVID situation. But I found this reading very interesting in that the rainbow is quite a specific thing. And I'm not a scientist, and I only know what people have said and what I've read. And so, but apparently when we see a rainbow, the rainbow, even if you're standing next to each other, the rainbow that one person sees is different slightly to the rainbow that the person next to them sees. And it's all because it's scientifically, it's the refraction of light through the droplets that causes the rainbow. So because we see it all from a slightly different angle, each rainbow is slightly different. And I find that quite interesting because that makes it a very personal thing. So we can look at a rainbow and know that that rainbow that I am seeing at that time is a reminder of God's promise to me. And the one that you are seeing, although it's technically the same rainbow, is a reminder of God's promise to you. And this is what God is saying here, is whenever you see the rainbow, it's a reminder of the promise, of the covenant that God has made with people. But also, the thing that really struck me in the reading of this, if you go to verses 14 and 16, he says it twice. He says, I like it better in verse 16. He says, when the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will, this is God speaking. He says, I will see it and I will remember. So the rainbow is not just there for us. It's there also to remind God of his promise to us. And I've never thought about that until I read it through for this morning, because I always just sort of think, well, God doesn't forget anything. God's omniscient. God knows everything. So why would he need reminding? But he says clearly there, I will see it and I will remember the everlasting covenant. And I think that's wonderful. So when you look at the rainbow, we're looking at it almost as it were, like from one side, and God sees it and he remembers the other side. But it's about a promise that's been made to you, to me, from God. And it's a reminder from both sides of the covenant. And I thought that was quite interesting to remember. So that's my thoughts really on that. There's obviously so much more in that story of Noah. Just want to remind you, next time you see the rainbow, remember God's also looking at it and being reminded. So we're going to sing again. This is a song, I don't know how many of you know this. This to me is a beautiful song, and especially if you know the history of the song. There is a film that's been made about the chappie who wrote it, and it's a really interesting story. If you don't know the words and you can't sing it, just listen to the words. The words are wonderful. And it's about being in God's presence. I can only imagine what it will be like. So either sing along if you want, or just let the words bless you and enjoy the song as we come to our second hymn.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Sing hallelujah. Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
I wonder if you ever imagine what it would be like to be in heaven, because I think sometimes the images that we are just given sometimes make heaven sound a bit boring, but there's an element of, will we even be able to speak when we're in the presence of Jesus? Will we even be able to stand? I can only imagine. We come to our gospel reading today, which is Mark chapter 1. And I've got a YouTube clip for this. It's very short, because it is actually only a short reading, and then I'm going to share a few thoughts with you. Thank you, Adrian.
About that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and John baptized him in the Jordan River. As soon as Jesus came out of the water, he saw the sky open and the Holy Spirit coming down to him like a dove. A voice from heaven said, "You are my own dear Son, and I am pleased with you." Straight away, God's Spirit made Jesus go into the desert. He stayed there for 40 days while Satan tested him. Jesus was with the wild animals, but angels took care of him. After John was arrested, Jesus went to Galilee and spread the good news that comes from God. He said, "The time has come. God's kingdom will soon be here. Turn back to God and believe the good news."
A very short reading. Prepare our hearts. Father, we just pray that from your word we would learn and you would plant seeds and that we would go away encouraged. Amen. So this is this confusing bit of scripture, and Mark, I think, treats it very quickly. He sort of skips over this. If you look in other Gospels, there's a lot more detail about what goes on with the baptism and particularly with the temptation of Christ in the desert. But first of all, I want to deal with each of these three incidents and just very quickly look at them and see what we can learn from them. First of all, Jesus comes to John to be baptized. Now, we understand baptism as being the confession or the outward display of our inward confession of sin. We've confessed to Christ, we've become a Christian, we go to the church and we outwardly want to give that message, so we get baptized in obedience. But if Jesus had never done anything wrong, which is what we believe, then why did he feel the need to be baptized? He comes to John, and in the other Gospels, we get this little tete-a-tete between Jesus and John, saying, John saying, "This isn't right, I shouldn't be baptizing you, you should be baptizing me." But Jesus went through the waters of baptism, and maybe he did this to set the precedent that we should be looking to be baptized. Maybe he did it as a future projection of what he was going to go through when he goes through death and is risen again from death. We don't really know all the ins and outs of it. None of the Gospels really tell us why Jesus decided he needed to do this, but the fact is that he does it. And the thing that happens at Jesus' baptism that I've never ever heard of as happening with anybody else's, certainly didn't happen at mine, was as Jesus came out of the water, a dove descended on Jesus in the form, the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus in the form of a dove. And a voice from heaven says, "This is my son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, had that have happened at my baptism, I would be really, really touched. But God did not break through the clouds at my baptism. It was just in the water, out of the water, and part of the queue of the people that were being baptized on that day. But I find this interesting because in Jesus's life, we only read of two occasions where we see the Trinity together. And one is here at Jesus' baptism, and one was at the Transfiguration, which Reverend Philip mentioned last week, where Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the voice of God are together. And it reinstates this idea of the Holy Trinity. And Jesus comes out of the water, and there is this declaration spoken very clearly that is heard by people. "This is my son." So Jesus's identity is being established. It's being confirmed. And the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove lands upon Jesus. I think that's very powerful. I suspect there's a lot more going on here than I could possibly imagine. But I love the fact that here we have the confirmation that God's Son is here in the form of Jesus. The Holy Spirit then leads Jesus into the desert. Now, having had that massive confirmation at this, you'd have thought that would be a great time to start preaching, but Jesus is led by the Holy Spirit into the desert. And again, if you read this story in the other Gospels, we hear about the devil tempts him and comes to Jesus and says, "If you are the Son of God, if," and he three times he questions Jesus' identity. again, if I had come out of my baptism waters and had a Holy Spirit come on me in the form of a dove and a voice from heaven tell me who I was, to have somebody then come and question my identity, I think I would have been quite firm in turning around and saying, actually, I know who I am. I've just been told. But three times the devil, we're told, the devil tempts Jesus. And Jesus comes through this temptation. He's protected, as we're told in that reading there, by angels in the desert. And Jesus stands firm in who he is. So he's led by the Holy Spirit into the desert. And then the last bit is that he comes back full of the Spirit. So he's led by the Spirit in, but he's back full of the Spirit. So having gone through those 40 days, coming back to Noah, of being stuck on that ark in that rain for 40 days and 40 nights. I know he was on the ark for longer than that, but 40 days and 40 nights. One of these numbers that keeps coming up throughout the Bible. And Jesus comes back full of the Holy Spirit. He knows now what his mission is. And he comes straight back. And what's his first thing? He goes to the crowds and starts preaching. The kingdom of heaven is near under the power of the Holy Spirit. This, I think, is a very short reading of a very powerful moment or period of time in the beginning of Jesus's ministry. And I think there's a lot in there for us. I don't know what your thoughts on baptism are, and when you get baptized or how you get baptized or whether or whatever. We all have a different thoughts on that and that. But the fact is that Jesus was baptized, and therefore I think it's something that we need to consider. But then the Holy Spirit and God the Father being present. I think this is a powerful image, in the same way that Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration was a powerful image. It was only shown to a few people, and yet there it was. As Christians, our ministry is to share the good news. And you could look at our past year of lockdown and isolation as being that time of temptation, that time of being set apart, maybe being led by the Holy Spirit. And maybe as the lockdown, as we're all looking forward to Monday and seeing what the Prime Minister says on Monday, maybe the lockdown being lifted, maybe this is us coming back out of lockdown and being filled with the Holy Spirit, with a new vigour for our life as a church, with a new meaning to what we have to share to those around us, of what God has done for us and in us and can do through us as a church. So maybe Monday is our coming out of the desert, coming back from that period where we've been isolated, where we've been protected by the angels. Maybe we're going to come out full of the Holy Spirit. Maybe what we thought of as Kingsthorpe Baptist / Methodist Church before lockdown, and what we see when we come back after lockdown is all lifted, it's going to be something very different. It's going to be something that God has had spent a whole year preparing us for. That as we come back, we're going to have a ministry that is going to have an impact upon our neighborhood. Maybe we're coming back full of the Holy Spirit. There's a big challenge in there for us all, where we've got to come before God and understand that he's hovering over us as the Holy Spirit, and he's saying over each one of us, this is my child. You are my son. You are my daughter, in whom I am well pleased, is what God is saying to each of us. So as we come out of lockdown, hopefully on Monday, I'm not prophesying this on Monday, by the way, I'm saying this is what he's talking about. So let's hope that after Monday, we can see what God wants, the areas and the way that God wants to take our church forward. He's a great God, and he's been faithful throughout, and he will remain faithful to the future. Let us sing together, Majesty, worship his majesty. Worship His Majesty. We are going to be led now in our communion by Paul, and after we've had communion, Stephanie is going to lead us in our prayers of intercession and the Lord's Prayer. So I'll hand over to Paul, and then we'll go straight to Stephanie afterwards. Thank you.
Thank you, Martin. I'm sure most of us know of somebody that's had a wedding cancelled over the last 12 months. We're expecting our son to get married last May, and he's postponed it now until May 2022. And sorry about that. just on cue. But I just want to think this morning about a wedding that's never going to get cancelled, and that is the marriage feast of the Lamb. And I thought I'd like to share with you today a few verses from Revelations and chapter 19, which describes the things that we've got to look forward to in heaven. I thought it was quite interesting this morning the way that Martin was saying about, you know, it's difficult to imagine, isn't it, what heaven's going to be like. So just here's a few verses just to kind of give us a bit of a taste, if you like, of heaven. It says, "And after this, I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, 'Alleluia! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. The true and just are his judgments. He has condemned the great prostitute who corrupted the earth by her adulteries. He has avenged her on her blood of his servants.' And again they shouted, 'Hallelujah! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever.' The 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshipped God, who was seated on the throne, and they cried, 'Amen, Hallelujah!' And then a voice from the throne saying, 'Praise our God, all you his servants, all you who fear him, both great and small.' And then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, and like great loud peals of thunder shouting, 'Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to wear.' And then the angel said to me, 'Write this, Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God. You know, quite often we come together, don't we, to celebrate communion, which is kind of almost like a dress rehearsal, isn't it, for the big feast that we're going to enjoy when we finally get to heaven, that great wedding feast of the Lamb. And the church that we're part of at the moment is the bride of Christ. And he's preparing us for that time when we're going to be and enjoy eternity with him in heaven. So as we come this morning and we share the bread and the wine, it's probably not quite the food that we're going to enjoy when we get to heaven. It's just a small, almost a shadow, isn't it, of that. But reminds us that Jesus, our faith and our trust in Jesus, is our passport, isn't it? Our invitation to join with God in heaven. So we take the bread now, and on that night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, take, eat, for this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So let's take the bread and remember that Christ died for us, his body broken for each one of us individually. After supper, Jesus took a cup of wine and he blessed it and he said, this is my blood of the new covenant. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And he reminded them to eat the bread and to drink of the cup until he comes. Something we need to keep on doing until that day when Jesus returns. The blood of Christ shed for us. Let's just have a moment of silence, just as we reflect on what Jesus did for us, his great salvation, his great work of sacrifice upon the cross. Let's just pray. Father, as we look upon our lives, we, Lord, acknowledge how unworthy we are to be called Christians. Father, we're not the way Jesus was, Lord, that he thought himself on, he should be baptized, Lord. And yet, Father, we have sinned, Father, and it's only, Lord, through what Jesus did upon the cross that we're able to be here this morning and to acknowledge him, Lord, the Father, as our Lord and our Saviour. And so, Father, we just thank you for Jesus. We thank you for all he has done for us, all he is doing for us in our lives, and the things, Father, Jesus will continue to do for us until he comes again. We just pray, Lord, that through this bread and this wine, Lord, this morning, we might just have our batteries recharged, Lord, our faith, Lord, renewed. Your spirit, Lord, poured upon our lives afresh so that we may face, Father, whatever is ahead in these coming days. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us continue in our blessings of prayer. Everlasting God, as we remember that your Son, Jesus Christ, was tempted into the desert, may we be saved from the weakness of giving in to our temptations. Help us to choose the way of faithfulness, rather than popularity, service rather than fame, and sacrifice rather than power. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we pray for your church here and around the world. May we always hear your good news and build up our faith as we meet together during this time. Give us faith and belief in following you, and courage to ourselves and others who find it hard to follow you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father God, we thank you for your promises to us, and may we always live up to these promises. We thank you for our fellowships and the promises we have made to each other in our faith. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. During our Lenten journey, may we be especially aware of those in our world who are hungry and thirsty, and all who have so little when we have so much. We particularly pray for the food banks in Northamptonshire. Please be with those who organise work and those who come for support. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, we pray for those who are ill and in pain. We especially pray today for Stuart, who is in hospital, and ask for your love and strength to be with him. We also think about others in hospital, unwell, at home, those suffering from coronavirus, and those who are caring for them. There are so many in our hearts today, and now, in a moment of quiet, let each of you bring before God anyone who is on our hearts. May we have the strength to be able to offer gentle support to those in trouble, sensitive encouragement to those in need, and love and support to those who need it. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, we pray for those saddened by the death of someone close to them, and we particularly remember the families of Philip Sibley, Nellie Brown, Jeff Ottaway, and Jonathan Lloyd. Give them your comfort, Lord, as they mourn for their loved ones and turn their darkness into light. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, help us to see this time of Lent as an opportunity to develop our discipleship, faith and grace, to be faithful to the example Jesus gave us, to share his good news to support, not only now, but also in the years ahead, by joining now and sharing together the prayer that Jesus has taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thanks to Paul and Stephanie for leading us through those. And also thanks for Lois reading for us earlier on. As we come to our final hymn this morning, we're going to sing together. I wanted to say stand and sing then. I'm going to sing together, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Close our meeting together in prayer, and then we'll say the grace together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to have taken this small amount of time out of our week and sit together and to be in your presence. We thank you for all that we have heard, and we pray as we look into this coming week with expectation and hope of a new way forward. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will walk before us, and that you will bless us and you will guide us and be with us in all that we do, and bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We'll say the grace together. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, love of God, and fellowship of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Thank you all for coming, and I'll hand over to Adrian for our notices and other announcements.
Thank you very much, Martin. It was certainly a lot to think about in your message today, so thank you very much for that. I'm leading the Zoom service next Sunday morning at 11, and we've got our morning prayers as usual on Wednesday and Friday today, this week at 11, but tomorrow Monday it's the funeral service for Philip Sibley at 11 o'clock, so we will be broadcasting that service on Zoom tomorrow morning at 11. All are welcome to join with us for that service, but it will be the funeral service for Philip Sibley tomorrow at 11, rather than the normal prayer meeting tomorrow. And then on Friday, we are having our prayers at 11, but we're also having Nellie Brown's funeral service on Friday, which is at 12:30. And that again will be on Zoom here if you wish to join.
Gosh, 2 in a week.
Yeah. So, and Jeff Ottaway, his funeral is on Wednesday during the day. There are details for that being broadcast from the crematorium. If anybody wants those details, please let me know if you don't have them, and I can let you have the link for that service as well. So that's rather a lot of notices for me today, but now ask anybody else if they've got any notices that they wish to bring before us. Can't see any waving hands today. So,
just to check, but both of the funerals will be the same login details as this service, are they?
The same login details as this service. You may have noticed there was a slight change in title. It used to talk about Zoom Sunday service and prayer meetings. It's now just saying KBC Public Services, Zoom services. Now, when you log into it, I changed that, but all the other details remain the same. I felt it was much simpler and less complicated for people if we sort of retained the same Zoom details for all of these services being broadcast from the church. Okay. And we are recording both Philip's and Nelly's services, so that I will be putting those up on the website as well for those who may wish to join with them later if they can't join during the day.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in that case, we can all give our greetings to each other and then be apart and relax and enjoy.
Thank you. Thank you.
The weather
much,
for
everybody.
Today.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, everybody.
I realize what I haven't done is I haven't stopped you yet, so you can see everybody.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Thank you, Martin.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.